Welcome to the Seeds Excess Youth Podcast. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Friday night service. You make me feel so.
Good evening, guys. Hope you're doing well. I'll say a massive welcome if you are here for the first time. And if that was at all strange for you to have a bunch of people just singing along to some words on the screen, welcome. Thanks for being here. Thanks for giving it a go. We are here because Jesus changes lives. And we believe that he has something so much better for us than we could ever manufacture for ourselves. We get to be a part of what he is doing in the world. And that's pretty exciting. I love playing footy. And that wasn't any different when I was at school. Absolutely love playing footy. And in my high school, so my high school was just from year 7 to 10 in Tasmania. And I was in year 10, and we had 4 footy teams. And it was like the year 7s and 8s were in the juniors, and the year 9s and 10s were in the seniors. So you could be in year 7 and be playing junior A with mainly year 8s. Or you could be in year 10 and playing with mainly year 9s, like some people were. And so I was in senior B, and I hung out with a group of guys that I was really the only one that played footy. So I was like the footy guy in my group in year 10. And then it comes a time for the one time of the year that we had a game during school time. And so we were playing another school. And so I think it was all of year 10, maybe year 9s as well, wandered over to the local oval in Ulverston, Tasmania. And I was in this group, you know, walking along, and then one of my friends turns to me and is like, why are you with us? Like, aren't you playing today? And I was like, I'm actually in senior B. He's like, with the year 9s. And I was like, yeah, with the year 9s. That's pretty much it. And for me, that was a part of my identity, was the footy player. And I got taken down a few pegs in my own opinion and the opinion of others. But it's interesting how we can define ourselves in a certain way. We can put a certain label next to our own names, and sometimes it doesn't play out in actuality. Sometimes we don't meet the definition. Interesting as well that sometimes those labels change over time. So what is true of us in one month could actually be different in the following month. There's times when there's a label that we've actually earned, maybe by a stupid decision that we made. But there's other times that we get a label and we have no choice over it. It's been assigned to us. Maybe it's something that we were born with, but people chose to define us by a particular thing that we wish they didn't. It's interesting that sometimes the labels that people create for us are just not true. But it's also the case that sometimes the labels that we create for others are also not true. And sometimes we don't actually create those labels for others, but we just join in and agree with a label that's been spoken over someone else. But who actually has the right? Who has the right to label you? If we look at it legally, then it's your parents. Your parents choose a name for you. But if someone else wanted to come up and just change your name, it's like, I call you Penelope. No longer are you John. Like, it's not going to do anything, is it? It's not going to change anything. The only person that can change, like once you turn 18, there's a thing called deed poll. You can actually change your name. And so you could be Penelope if you wanted to be instead of what you currently are. But someone else just saying, I'm going to call you this, doesn't hold any weight legally. Have you ever found out what someone's real name was? Like someone who's called by like their middle name or a different name, and then you see their legal name? It's an interesting experience, isn't it? But there's something about a real name. There's something about a legal name that holds a whole heap more weight than a name that someone just randomly throws at you. Some of you that were in small group before would have read a story which talks about a nasty label. And in the society that this particular woman lived, it's the worst label that can be given to anyone.
And this was a label that not only was it given to her, but she had to reinforce it everywhere that she went. And it was all because of something that happened to her that she had no control over. So she was sick, and she'd been sick for 12 years. And for those 12 years, she had to warn anyone and everyone that she would come into contact with that she was sick. And so the way she had to do that was actually yelling out unclean, just describing herself in that one word, like this big label across her chest, unclean. Because in her culture, if she touched anyone else, then they became ceremonially unclean. That's a big deal. 12 years, anytime she sees some people, unclean, unclean. And so this woman, after 12 years of suffering, after trying all sorts of stuff, so she'd spent a lot of money on doctors and whatnot, not only had she not got better, she actually got worse over that period of time. And then, in a last-ditch effort, she did something a bit out there. She broke all the rules. She goes up to someone and touches them. It was totally illegal. She's not allowed to touch anyone because she makes that person unclean just by touching them. Except, of course, the person that she's touching, what's his name? It's Jesus. And so you can't make Jesus unclean. You can't do it. In fact, she touches him and she instantly, supernaturally becomes clean. The bleeding stops. She's no longer sick. Her suffering has ended, all because she touched Jesus' robe. That was enough. She believed it, and then it happened. She believed it was going to make a difference just to reach out and touch his clothing. And in doing that, everything changes. Jesus then asks, or gives her an opportunity to come and to meet him. She's like, who touched me? She comes, falls down in fear and trembling. She's like, oh my goodness. She knew straight away that she was better. And Jesus gives her the time of day to listen to her whole story. She just blurts it all out. And so this woman that had the identity of unclean for what is likely to be well over half of your life. Think about what you were doing 12 years ago. Imagine for the entire 12 years, you were not allowed to be around other people. And then he does something that we have no record of him doing to any other person ever. He gives her a brand new label. So unclean was her label. And this is recorded in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and in every one, he says something to her he doesn't say to anyone else. He says, daughter, go in peace, your faith has made you well. He calls her daughter. Imagine that. Everyone rejects you for a massive chunk of your life. And then someone uses that incredibly intimate term to describe you, daughter. He never says it of anyone else, but he calls her his daughter. Flips it. That's our series. We're in week 3 of 4, looking at how Jesus flips everything. Anyone that encounters Jesus experiences change. And if you haven't been changed, then you haven't really experienced Jesus. It's as simple as that. But he flipped this woman's identity. He flipped the label from unclean to clean. And he calls her daughter. It's amazing. You know, there's this other woman that comes to Jesus a little bit later on. And she's got a reputation. She's nasty labels all over her. And she comes up to Jesus, and everyone is like, psh, psh, psh. If he knew who she was, he would not let her touch him. He can't be really a prophet. And they're saying nasty stuff about her. And she does this extravagant thing. She gets this really expensive perfume and she pours it over his head. It's a little bit weird, but it was really respectful back in those days. And he says about her, this woman that has a bad reputation, all these people that feel so much better than her that are just gossiping about her. And he says, Jesus says, of her, wherever the good news about me is told around the world, they're going to talk about her as well. And it's true. I'm telling you the story right now. You've quite possibly heard it before. And this story is told all over the world, wherever the good news of Jesus is told. How good is that? We have these two women who were just seen as nothing. They were despised by their communities. Yet, you just heard about them 2,000 years later. Jesus flips things, and he does stuff which affects everyone, but are you hearing how personal this stuff is as well? That there's something special and unique for these two women who were so marginalized, pushed to the side, despised, and he actually lifts them up. It was like, with pride. It's just like, I love you. I want to celebrate you. How good is Jesus? He flips things. You see, God sees everything. Everything. So for me, there's some of you that I know reasonably well. There's others that I really don't know at all. But regardless, I have a perspective that I see on you. Just like you have a perspective on others around you. Your parents have a perspective. Your close friends have a perspective. Your teachers have a perspective. Everyone has a perspective. But who sees everything? It's only God. So surely what he says about you is more true than what anyone else does. Because he has the ultimate, all-encompassing perspective on you. People might see one aspect of you and then try and put a label on you and say, this is who you are, but they don't see the whole picture. God sees the whole picture. And so there is one label that counts, and it's his. I wonder how this applies to you, both for the labels that have been put on you. For some of you, stuff just jumps out, doesn't it? As soon as I say that, you're like, there's this one. I wish it wasn't there, but it is. But there's the other side as well. What about those labels that you have been a part of either putting on someone or reinforcing on them? No one has the right to define who you are apart from God. And you don't have the right to define someone else. God does that, and God alone. Jesus changed a woman's label. And by doing so, he changed the way people thought about her, the way they talked about her. He changed everything, including, and this is probably the most powerful part of all, how she thought about herself. That's the thing about labels, is that you can start to believe it for yourself. Someone else says it and you reject it. Then they say it again and you're still rejecting it. But they say it again and others join in and say it, and it can get harder and harder to put it off. And you start to believe it for yourself. But there is a label that beats all other labels, and that's God's. That's what he says about you. He says a lot of things about you. Can someone call out one thing that God declares about you? Awesome. Another one. It's good. Keep them coming. Come on, two more. So good. That's what he says about you. Read the start of Ephesians. That you would be holy and blameless before Him. Like I said before, everyone has a perspective on you. Everyone sees something of you, but only God sees everything. So if God declares that you are holy and blameless in His sight, He's not blind. His sight is not limited. He sees everything. He calls you holy and blameless. It's got to be true. Holy and blameless in His sight. That's a big deal. That is an amazing label. Son, daughter. He's not just saying, I think you're okay. He's like, you are part of my family. Do you know we are God's family? We're also the body of Christ. If you believe, then you are part of Jesus' body. You can't get any closer to someone than to be part of their body. Seriously. That's a big deal. He claims us. Wants us, and it's a game changer. I want to give a couple of ways that you can respond to this tonight. And so the first one is for you. If you're like, I want to stop receiving labels. It may be one in particular, or it could be that there's actually a few that have just been thrown your way. Now, this is not a promise that no one's ever going to call you something that you don't want to hear again. But we can have a bigger perspective. You see, every time that someone throws something at us, it has to have a place to land. We have to receive it for it to actually make a difference. And we've all done it. We've all received things that we shouldn't have. We've all held on to things that we should have just dropped. But when someone tries to stick a label to you, you don't need to receive it. And the best way to do that is to be confident about what God says about you. To know it. And we do that through reading the scriptures and believing what we read. Because it's true. So if you're in that category tonight, and you're like, I am sick of labels that other people decide or ones that you decide for yourself that are negative. If you're sick of that defining you, I want to give you an opportunity to respond in just a moment. It might be, though, that the first thing that jumps to mind when it comes to labels is your part in giving them or reinforcing them. It might be that you want someone to feel less than you. And so you're happy for them to have those thoughts about themselves. Happy to confirm what someone else is saying in a negative way about them. And I want to give you a chance to respond also. Because there is only one label that matters, and it's His. So if you're in that first group, and you're like, I'm done with this. No other label is going to define me. Only what God says about me. Why don't you stand to your feet? It's awesome. So good. All right, would you all close your eyes? We're just going to pray. Father, thank you for what you say about your children. Thank you they are so loved. Thank you that you want them and you paid a high price in order for them to be part of your family. I pray that from this moment on there would be a shift and a change, that there would be a freedom, that no word, no negative words spoken against them will stick because they know who they are and they know who they belong to. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you guys take a seat? That's awesome. I love your courage. Absolutely love it. Another chance to be courageous. Who will own up to this next one? And you want to say sorry. Now, there's two parts. This is the first part of it. First part is for you to stand for this thing of, I don't want to give anyone a label. And I also don't want to reinforce a label that someone else has given. Well, negative labels, obviously. First part is I'm going to invite you to stand. The second part is I want you to ask God to show you what you can do about it. How you can help the person that you're thinking of. Would you stand to your feet if you're like, I'm not going to give a label to anyone ever again. You're like, I'm done with this. I'm not going to label someone. It's awesome. It's so good. All right, again, would you close your eyes as we pray? Father, thank you that you have ultimate authority. Thank you that you are here with us right now. Thank you that you have also given authority to us. And so the words we speak have power. I thank you that all those that have just stood realize something of the power of their words. I pray, Lord, for the sanctification of all these tongues. Thank you that you've already paid for it. Thank you that it is already true. But Lord, I pray that these tongues, which we are about to use to praise our Father, would never be used to curse our brothers, our sisters, anyone. But these tongues, these mouths would be used to encourage, to build up, to speak life into everyone they talk to. Thank you, Lord, that I'm praying over mighty people who are mighty because of what you have done, what you have given them access to. And I pray that they would have courage as well. If there's something that's brought to their mind now, if there's a person they know, hey, I need to make something right, I pray, Lord, that you would show them how to do that. How to speak life where they've been involved in actually speaking death in the past. Thank you, Father, that you're doing good things and that you actually work encouragement, life, and hope, peace, and joy through each of these people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You can actually all stand to your feet if you like, because we're going to continue to worship our great God. There was a verse just then that I half quoted as I was praying, which is from James, and he talks about how you don't get salt water from a fresh spring, and you don't get grapes from an apple tree. It's a different fruit, but it's that kind of idea. How can we, who use our tongues to praise our Father, then use the same tongues to curse our brothers and sisters? He asks the question, says, this should not be, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. And I want to say, I am sorry, if you've had words spoken against you that have robbed you of knowing who you really are, then I'm sorry that's happened. But there's good news. That doesn't come close to the power of what God speaks about you. And you get to be a part of the solution for others as well. A part of them knowing who they really are. And that is good, good stuff. Let's sing praises to our God.